James Stewart as the Six Shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl, its handle unmarked. People call them both the Six Shooter. The NBC Radio Network presents James Stewart as the Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still remembered legends.
About the last place I expected to be that Tuesday was the town of Powder Creek. The Double G Ranch where I'd been working was clear on the other side of the territory, about 200 miles away. But when Sam Griffith, he's the owner of the Double G, when Sam got a chance to buy off Forrest Trent's herd, he sent me over to close the deal. So the next thing I knew, I was walking down the main street on my way to the bank where I was supposed to meet Trent. Gee whiz, it sure was a nice day. Kind of Indian summer-like. A lot warmer than it had a right to be in October. The sun had fooled the maple trees into thinking it was spring. A couple of them beside the Civil War cannon in the square were even starting to bud. The two fellas sitting underneath it playing checkers in their shirt sleeves, it looked like the sun had fooled them, too. Howdy.
Just a minute, mister. Just a minute till I make this move. There. That ought to hold you, Jonah.
Yeah.
Now, what was it you wanted, mister?
Oh, I didn't want anything. I just said howdy, that's all.
Oh, howdy. Well, speak to the man, Jonah. He spoke to us.
It's my move now. I'll do my talking afterward. Yeah. Howdy.
Ah, it's a nice day.
Yeah.
Well, so long.
Hold up there a minute, son.
Hmm?
Say, see that gun of his, John?
Yep.
You ain't Britt Ponsett, the Six Shooter.
My name's Ponsett, yeah.
You hear that, Jonah? He's Britt Ponsett.
Yep.
And we was kind of wondering when you was going to show up, Mr. Ponsett. Been expecting you for the last month or so.
What's that?
Yeah, when you got to jump, you got to take it. That's the rule.
All right, Jonah. All right, I know the rule.
Well, we'll take it then, take it.
All right.
Yeah.
There. You satisfied?
You said something about expecting me.
Why, sure. Ever since we heard the news, congratulations.
What?
He said congratulations. Now let's get on with the game.
All right. You're moving.
Yeah, how in thunder should I know? All this chattering going on.
Well, I don't like to keep you interrupting, but I wonder if you'd mind explaining just what you meant by...
Jonah's trying to think.
Yeah, I know, but what I...
I don't want him to claim I beat him because we kept him from concentrating.
No, of course not. No, I... Well, I knew that the Trent cattle would turn out to be good stock. The Double G was lucky to be buying them. But since they weren't going to belong to me, I couldn't see why congratulations were in order. Unless folks in Powder Creek had heard wrong, unless they thought I was outfitting a ranch of my own. And I started to explain things to the fellas playing checkers, but they shushed me again, good and loud this time. So I gave up and went on town toward the bank. I was just passing by the newspaper office when I bumped into Quint Todd. He was editor of the Powder Creek Press, a weekly newspaper. Matter of fact, he was more than just an editor. Quint's pa had retired in the last 6 or 7 years, and he was putting out the paper practically single-handed. Afternoon, Quint.
Huh? Yeah. Oh, it's you, Ponsett. So you finally got here, huh?
Well, I'm here, if that's what you mean. I didn't realize folks were so anxious about me.
Some of us are anxious, maybe. Some of us ain't.
What, are you upset about something, Quint?
Why should I be upset?
Well, I don't know. Things are all right, aren't they? I mean, with the paper.
Paper's fine. I'll save you the next issue so you can see your name in print.
See, I sure can't think of any reason why you'd be writing about me.
It's customary, ain't it?
What?
It's customary to write about the groom.
The groom? The what? What?
I'm busy now, Ponsett. I got a story to run down.
Well, Quint, listen to me.
I hope you'll be real happy, both of you.
No, but Quint, hey, for Pete's sake, Quint!
Well, he'd lost his senses. That's the only explanation of that. Yet Quint Todd had just plain lost his senses. That me being a groom. Me? And who in the Sam Hill did he think I was going to marry? I hadn't even been keeping company. Not that I have anything against marriage, you understand. Like people say, it's an institution. A noble institution. Why, some of my best friends are married. And I suppose someday, not right away, of course, not very soon, but someday, maybe I'll... Well, I...
Hey, hello, Britt. I was on my way to meet you.
Huh?
Hey, what's the matter? You look like you just fell off a bronc.
Oh, hello, Trent. I guess I was kind of preoccupied. I was thinking about something.
I reckon we shouldn't expect you to have all your faculties in good working order. Not at a time like this, huh?
What?
Oh, sure was a surprise. Never thought I'd see the day when some woman would put a saddle on you.
What?
Well, we better get over to the bank. I told Mr. Fredericks we'd be there by 3 about. He's drawing up the papers.
Sure. Trent.
Yeah?
Now, about me getting married, the fact of the matter is,
Oh, Fred, you know I was just joshing with that saddle talk.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know.
Well, to tell you the truth,
but
it's high time you did put down some roots.
Maybe so.
Trent. Yeah, just wait till you got a family of your own. Why, you'll be a different man.
Well, that's possible. That's possible, Trent. But just where did everybody get the notion that I was almost ready to...
You didn't think you could keep it a secret, did you?
A secret?
Well, you ought to know Minnie better than that.
Minnie?
Yeah, that's who told me. Well, of course, there'd been rumors going around for several weeks, but until I heard it from Minnie herself...
Oh, wait, hold on here. You mean Minnie Flint?
Well, who else would I mean? It's her niece you're marrying, ain't it? What are you acting so strange about, Fred?
Now, I just want to get this straight. Minnie Flint told you I was marrying her niece?
Well, she told everybody.
I say.
Well, now, Britt, I know how a man feels when he's getting ready to jump overboard. I felt the same way myself, sort of awkward and embarrassed.
Well, be that as
you
it
wish
may.
Folks you're... didn't know about it so they wouldn't poke fun the way they always do. But you can't blame Minnie for spreading the news.
Well, I sure do blame her.
Well, now, Britt, Minnie's been like a mother to Helen, raised her since she was a baby. Well, Helen ain't never had no folks of her own.
I know that.
Well, then, you shouldn't mind Minnie being proud. Why shouldn't she do a little bragging, huh? Well, of course. The women folks around here seem to think you're quite a catch.
Oh, now listen, let me tell you something.
Here's the bank. I suppose that you'll want to get this business done with pronto so you can get straight over to Minnie's place, huh, Rip?
Yeah. Yeah, I would like to get over to Minnie's.
I'm coming. Just a minute, I'm coming. Britt.
You mind if I come in, Minnie?
Why, well...
Excuse me. Thanks.
It's sure nice to see you, Britt. I didn't have any idea you were in Powder Creek. I didn't have any idea at all.
Uh-huh.
You're just passing through, ain't you? You're not staying.
Well, some folks seem to think I am. I at least long enough to get married.
Oh, you've heard.
Well, so is everybody else, far as I can tell. Your announcement of my engagement seems to have blanketed the whole town.
Now, Britt, I can explain.
Well, that's why I'm here.
Why don't you just sit down over there on the sofa? I've got some oatmeal cookies out in the kitchen. I just made them this morning.
Minnie?
Yes?
You just can forget about the cookies. I really don't have much of an appetite.
Oh. Well.
I'm waiting, Min.
Well, you see, Britt, I only did it for Helen. Now, she's a fine girl, and, well, I wanted to help her out.
Oh.
On account of Quint Todd. They've been going together for nearly 6 years now, but he just never seemed to get around to asking her to marry him.
Well, he must have his reasons. A man usually does.
Oh, it's because of his father. You see, Quint's been taking care of old man Todd ever since he retired, and it must cost money, him being so sickly all the time.
Uh-huh.
But Quint would have married her. Helen don't expect a lot of fancy clothes in a fine house. She's the practical type.
Just what has this got to do with me?
Well, I had an idea. I thought if maybe there was somebody else, if Quint believed Helen was interested in another man, well, maybe he'd come to his senses and take the bull by the horns and marry her himself.
You've been sort of using me as a decoy. Is that the idea?
I knew you was working for the Double G. It didn't seem likely you'd be showing up in these parts. Not for the time being, anyhow. And afterward, well, after Quint and Helen tied the knot, then it wouldn't matter.
Well, you ought to be ashamed of yourself, man. Both you and Helen.
You don't think she knew about it?
She didn't?
Of course not. I didn't dare tell her. Why, she'd have never stood for it.
Well, then how on earth did you manage to convince her that I was interested?
I've got a sister living over in Black Mountain. That's not far from the Double G.
No, but what I mean is, how did you ever...
Well, I... Hmm? There are some letters and asked her to post them for me. They was love letters, Brett. I sort of changed my handwriting and signed your name.
Minnie Flint.
I guess you might as well know the rest, too. When Helen answered them, when she wrote back to you, well, I kind of saw to it that her answers never got mailed.
Well, I just don't know what to say.
Oh, I never dreamed it'd go this far, Britt. I was sure Quint would start talking serious when he first found out that you and Helen were corresponding, but he didn't. And then, well, I thought maybe if your letters got a little more sincere, well, maybe that would make him jealous. I left him around where he couldn't help seeing them whenever he come calling.
You didn't actually propose in my name.
Oh, no.
Well.
Britt. Well, not in so many words, but reading between the lines, well, that's how Helen took it. She wrote you her answer 2 weeks ago. She wrote yes.
What?
Your letters were mighty convincing.
Well, then you better start figuring out some way of unconvincing her.
Well, I don't know. Maybe...
Look, man, now, Helen's got to know the truth. And if you won't do it, well, I'll just have to tell her all about it myself. Because...
Oh, Constantine, I guess maybe he's... What, Brent? Well, you're here already.
Hello, Helen.
Oh, my goodness. It sure is good to see you, Brent. You're looking fine.
I saw you, Helen. Saw you.
I wish I'd known you were coming. I wouldn't have been out doing the marketing.
No, it didn't matter. Didn't matter.
Oh, Brent, I just got to tell you. Maybe I shouldn't say it right out like this, but... Well, ever since I was a little girl, I've looked up to you so. It just seemed to me you were the finest man that ever came through Powder Creek.
Now, Helen...
Of course, I never guessed that someday... Well, that you and I... Oh, Britt, I'm so happy about it. Excited and happy. I just hope you're as pleased as I am. Are you, Britt?
Sure, Helen. Sure.
We'll return to James Stewart as the Six Shooter in just a moment. Every man and woman in the armed forces will tell you the only call that takes precedence over mess is mail call. And when a letter is more important to a hungry GI than food, you know it means something. And the truce in Korea is no reason why we should stop writing letters to our men and women in service, whether in U.S. camps or overseas. Mail from home is just as important now as it ever was. Oh yes, and be sure to mail your soldiers' Christmas packages this week. In that way, you'll be sure he'll receive them in time to make his Christmas away from home a little more cheerful.